You're listening to Trek FM.
Maybe it's not the destination that matters. Maybe it's the journey. To the journey.
Hello, boys and girls, and welcome to the journey.
To the journey!
I am Charlene, and with me is...
Lori.
And Tristan Riddell.
And today we are going to talk about the children on Voyager. Maybe the ones that we saw, the ones that we wish we would have seen more of, and maybe just a general characterization about what we think about kids on Voyager in the first place. So, why don't we just dive right on in and discuss the fact that Voyager... was this kind of a new thing here with it being the possibility of a generational ship. They talk about this fairly early on in the series. What did you think when this process was brought up, you guys?
Well, I think you hit the key term there, is generational ship. I mean, that's, we've seen this before, even in Voyager, where we see a ship later on where they're like, oh yeah, no, this, like, I'm the fifth generation of these people's journey. And we see it a little bit in Enterprise in the third season, where they got stranded back in time and they realized that in order to save humanity, this had to be a generational ship. I think that's a key term. And I like that Chakotay and Janeway talked about it in the first season. They said, they're like, yeah, we may need to make a nursery. Like, I think what, what prompted that? I think, like, Janeway saw two people making out in a turbo lift or something like that.
It was Chakotay, actually, and he seemed almost disturbed by the thought, and which I thought was kind of prudish of him, actually.
A little.
And Janeway had a much more relaxed point of view at that point, saying, you know, honestly, we can't tell people that they can't pair up and start having families. We don't know how long we're going to be out here.
Right.
Yeah. They said they may need their descendants to continue to get them home.
Right.
Exactly. Mm-hmm. Yeah, because lest we forget, this crew is going to age, and 70 years later, they're going to be, for the most part, very old.
Right, definitely. Yeah. Or dead. So, I mean,
or dead,
definitely.
Yeah.
Right. Yeah. So, they did need some children if they really were going to be traveling for 70-some years from Delta Quadrant to Alpha Quadrant, if it really took them that long. Of course, it didn't. But early in those days, it sure seemed like they were in for a very long ride home. And we didn't even get a child even mentioned until, what was it, Elogium, where Samantha Wildman tells Captain Janeway that she's pregnant. And so she had conceived before Voyager took off and got stranded in the Delta Quadrant, which makes me wonder, how long did she wait to find out that she was pregnant? I mean, Voyager had been out in space for a few months at least, right?
Right. That was strange. Those must be really odd pregnancies. Maybe you just don't know. I don't know.
Every single time in... we've never gotten a single, what we would call normal pregnancy in Star Trek.
Not, this is true.
Not one time.
No.
Maybe with Keiko.
She
had Molly.
Right.
Well,
that was the only time that we had a normal pregnancy, like marriage, pregnancy, like impregnation, gestation, delivery.
Yeah.
That was the only time that it took 9 months in that order. Because, like, we had Troy with the child where it happened in 5 minutes.
Yeah.
Nurse Ogawa, her pregnancy actually
went
backwards.
Yeah, that's right.
Yeah, and it's all messed up, right?
Yeah, and then even in Voyager with Morale, who we'll talk about later, that was, of course, an accelerated pregnancy because she was Klingon, half or a quarter Klingon.
Oh, you mean Miral. I say Miral.
It's Morale.
Oh, it is?
Yeah.
Really? Am I the only one that's had this wrong?
Yeah. You don't worry. You pronounce things odd all the time anyway, so you know, it's cool.
So I'm told, but wow.
Yeah, morale.
All right, then.
Or like it's morale. Like it's morale, not mural, because she's named after her mother.
Okay. Wow. I can't believe that I'm just realizing this now on the show while we're recording.
Hey, that's all right.
Jeez.
This is what we do. I've gotten my fair share of pronunciations wrong, but we'll get to her. We'll get to her because
she's
key.
We will.
But okay, so Naomi was half Qatarian.
Yes.
And of course, that meant accelerated pregnancy.
Well, sort of.
I don't know. It seemed longer to me.
Yeah, it seemed like, Samantha Wildman was pregnant for at least a season and a half.
I think she was.
Oh, yes.
No.
Yes.
Yeah.
No. Okay, explain this, Tristan.
You guys keep talking. I'm going to look this up.
Okay, buddy. No, so I think it's kind of the reverse. I think Qatarian pregnancies have got to be a little weird where, okay, if Samantha didn't find out for several months that she was pregnant.
Right.
Okay, fine if that's something that happens and then gestation is really long.
Mm-hmm.
Okay, I can buy that, and that
sure
would explain why she gave birth in deadlock, which is, what, two-thirds of the way through season two, right?
Right, yeah. She was pregnant for a really long time. It was not...
Really long time.
I mean, it seemed forever that she was pregnant.
It really did. So, once Naomi is born, though, she has rapid accelerated growth. She goes from a small child to a kid in a matter of a couple of years.
That was
weird. You know, well, they do that, of course, because kid actors are much, you know, the older they are, the much easier they are to work with. The more you can do with them. I get it. It's cool.
Mm-hmm.
But it would be nice if they'd include some sort of line about how Qatarians mature.
Didn't they do that? I thought they said something like that. Or was that something I read somewhere? I don't know.
They might have, but you know, after you read all this stuff and see it and hear it, you get confused.
You do.
I don't know. But that's my take on it. And then when you've got this looked up, buddy.
Okay.
You got it?
It was 17 episodes.
Okay, well, that's a long time.
That is a really long time.
No, it's not.
From the point of view where you're finding out that you're pregnant, several months into the journey, I'm talking from start of Voyager to when she gave birth.
So it's 17 episodes in. All right, but we're talking about...
Maybe you're right. Okay, we have to assume, though, that season one of Voyager was 1 year. Was it?
It was, I think, 10 months. They said something like that in the 37s.
Right, yeah, they did say 10 months. Okay, right there. 10 months.
Yeah, 10 months.
If that's the case, if that's the timeline, then yes, it's a wicked long time.
It's a long time.
And I'm wrong.
Okay.
So, because Elogium was 204.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
And Deadlock was 221.
Mm-hmm.
And that would have been... Yeah, that would have been a long-ass time.
Okay, so I really feel for Samantha Wildman here.
Oh my God, I can't even imagine. I mean,
she carried that child forever. It's a good thing Naomi was a great kid, because wow, that poor woman.
Yeah, no, I'm totally wrong.
Well, I said Miral wrong. We're all owning up to our mistakes to this week.
Yeah, she would have had to have been pregnant a long time, and I'm glad that they addressed though. I'm glad that she had problems with the pregnant during the delivery because of interspecial complications. I like that they address that because our gene pools were never meant to mix in our evolutionary process.
No, right.
And if it, obviously we have to suspend disbelief, but it would most likely be almost impossible, if not straight up impossible, for two species from different planets to mix, unless you put in the whole TNG timeline where... do you remember the storyline where we find out that Cardassians, Klingons, and Ferengi and everybody in the Alpha Quadrant shares some sort of genetic code, like all humanoids?
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
I think anybody could use that excuse to say, well, yeah, because of this episode, that's what makes interspecial pregnancies happen. But I like that she had the cranial horns or spikes or whatever you want to call.
Mm-hmm.
And I'm glad that they
ripping her
that
from the inside, the poor lady.
Oh my gosh, that just
but
makes
then
me
we
cringe.
We saw the fetal transport, which was kind of cool.
That was cool.
Yeah. I was like, why didn't you just do that to begin with?
I don't know. I mean, you would think that those babies would hurt coming out during a natural delivery. Hello.
The good thing the spikes went in one direction and not both. So
this is true.
Okay.
This is true, but still, youch.
Oh, that would mean that she would have to come out feet first because her spikes went up.
That right? Hey, see, so that would really freaking hurt. So the doctor really should have been much more prepared for this. He should have anticipated this problem.
Yeah, he should have known.
You know, I think he was out to torture Samantha. He was going to make her suffer through all that pain.
Oh, and also, we don't even have real Naomi Wildman. We have alternate universe Naomi Wildman.
That's right. Along with alternate universe Harry because of what happened in Deadlock.
Yeah.
I love that storyline.
It's great.
We've talked about this before about how much I love Deadlock.
Mm-hmm.
It's one of my favorite episodes, and I love that that was one of the components. Harry died, Naomi died, and Jane was like, and like when Janeway gave Harry the order to go to the other ship, I was like, that's a cool moment.
Yeah.
That was really cool. That was great. I mean,
yeah.
That would have just been tragic. I mean, you didn't have to watch that baby die. That was amazing. I mean, how great to get your baby back.
Seriously.
Now, Laura, what do you think about Naomi's progress from little baby to practically, you know, raised kid? What did you like the character of Naomi Wild? The older Naomi, obviously.
Oh, I liked her. I really did like her. It was strange that she was so smart all of a sudden. I mean, she's supposed to be a four-year-old walking around memorizing history, learning about planetary whatever and mathematical equations. That was pretty cool that she was so smart like that and that she could interact with adults like she had. Well, that's all she had, I guess. Who else would she talk to?
So. Well, that's just it. Yeah, which brings up an issue we need to discuss later, which is the lack of children on Voyager. But it seems to me like Naomi was Wesley Crusher, only not so annoying. Because she's super smart. She's very masterful as an academic. She can just absorb information like a sponge. And she does get along well with adults. But she's not saving the ship every week. You know what I mean?
No.
She's still a kid.
She
right.
is. She likes games. She likes to play.
Yeah. She likes Kata's Kat.
Right.
That's right.
She's a real kid.
Mm-hmm.
I like that they made her a real kid.
Mm-hmm.
But at the same time, if you think about it, with her lack of other children, other childlike interaction, except for when the Borg children come, she had to have she had to have grown up faster and interact with adults quicker and easier because that's all that she had. I was just watching a documentary on the filming of the Harry Potter series, and they talked about how Daniel Radcliffe and Emma Watson and the other guy.
The other guy.
Rupert something.
Rupert Grint.
Thank you, Rupert Grint. They talked about how they had to grow up fast because they were always surrounded by adults, and so they matured much faster. And that's what's true in real life. If you're surrounded by people older than you, you will start acting like them. And Naomi definitely did that. Now, they cheated a lot with the actress's age. They cheated so bad. But I didn't care because I have filmed a lot with child actors, and they are horrible. They're snots and egomaniacal. And if you can, like, age them or get them to a point where if you can find an actor or actress that you can deal with that's just a couple years older, do it. And I completely understand Voyager doing this because I cannot stand working with kid actors.
I've never been in that situation, Tristan, working with kid actors, but I've heard enough horror stories to where I totally believe that child actors are absolutely horrible to work with. And I'm sure the writers and the producers were thinking, oh God, kids on Voyager, we have to do this? Really? Oh no. But you know what? I thought Scarlett Palmer's was an awesome choice. She did such a good job. And I hear that she was wonderful to work with. On those very rare occasions, you find that little gem, I think, that works well on a show. Who, you know, you can get a little kid who can be a professional in that craft, even at a very young age. And she fit that bill.
Yeah, I listened to a podcast with her on it, I think, last year. And I think she's living in Vegas right now. And I think she's become a singer and is a part of a band. And she's, like, not, you know, superstar famous with her band. But I think she's traveling and touring. And, like, she was just really cool and really down to earth when I listened to her on the podcast. And, like really enjoyed her time on Voyager and is really appreciative of it. And it's cool to know that she didn't get screwed up by being a child actress. She did go on to another show. I think it was Reba And yes. She did end up having some personal problems there.
If we want to get into that, she had an eating disorder and they had to actually kind of write her off the show for a season while she recovered. She's doing much better now and then has a foundation to support other people who need help getting care for an eating disorder, which is awesome.
Yes, that is awesome. So, okay, with Naomi, we got lucky with Naomi because she's awesome.
Yes.
And Scarlett Palmer's. Now, would you guys, would you have liked to have seen more children on Voyager? What's your thoughts on that?
Okay, I do have a thought on this because, you know what, as much as I liked Naomi and we did see the Borg kids and then we did see the birth of Miral Paris. I'm not letting that one go. We saw just enough of kids on Voyager scene. However, I do think because of the concept of the show, we needed to hear about more kids on the show. You didn't necessarily have to write them in. We didn't have to necessarily see them that much. But you know what I would have liked to have heard a little bit is like, so-and-so have gotten together and they're expecting their first baby. Aww. That sort of a thing. Little things like that written into the show, just some random mess hall conversation or something, that would have been awesome. Because then we would have known that families are coming up on Voyager.
Mm-hmm. I think that would have been great, just to hear about it. I'm with you. I mean, I work with kids all day long. I love kids. That's obvious. That's my job. But I think that would have really distracted and taken away from the story, from what was going on from day to day on the ship, from what we saw. So, yeah, just hearing about it, not even ever seeing, would have been fine. Just hearing about it, I think that would have been great.
I disagree.
Okay.
And I'll tell you why. I'm not saying you guys are wrong, because I think that would have been, it would have given us that emotional reaction that you guys wanted. What you're talking about, that would have been easily achieved by off-screen mentioning. But the thing is, we got lucky with Naomi, and we didn't need to see any other main characters or even side characters of children. But you got to think of it from a psychological perspective. These people are on a journey, and they still have a mission to get home, and that's the main thing that they're focusing on. Even though they are still, you know, they're falling in love, they're pairing off because they're, you know, locked together in this journey, and they have a small pool to choose from. I feel like they are still holding out hope that they will get home soon. If they allow themselves to get comfortable, get married, have a family, decide to have a family, because we know in Star Trek Future they have great control. They have great birth control.
And, yes, indeed.
I feel like that would have been giving in to them. Like, the only reason why we see Naomi is because she got pregnant before the mission.
Mm-hmm.
And the only reason why we see Morale is because we're looking at B'Elanna and Tom, who have a much better life on Voyager than they did back home.
True.
But that's not necessarily the case for everybody else. And so I feel like, you know, 7 years is still enough time to say, like, well, you know, even if they did get married, they could say, well, do you want to have a family? Well, I don't know. Do we want to have a family in Delta Quadrant? Why don't we just wait? Because we could get home next year. We could get home this season. And to me, that was justified to not see other births happen, at least from my perspective.
Okay. And I kind of disagree with you. I think it's always 50-50. You could get home tomorrow. It could be another 70 years. And if you're paired with somebody that you love and you want to spend the rest of your life with them, no matter where you are, why would you hold back on that?
Right. You don't have tomorrow.
Right. If you wanted to start a family, you would just do that no matter what your circumstances were.
Seems like, too, they would be thinking, you know what, we could die. We could die tomorrow. They're at risk all the time. Mm-hmm. Why not enjoy what you have right now?
Because
then if you did die, you would leave a child behind.
But you have
this
all
is true.
That's true, but you have all those people that are like your family. They would take care of your child just as well as your family would.
Well, you mean everything that you're saying is true. It's just I feel like the psychological perspective was established in the 37s. I mean, they could have stayed home. I mean, they could have stayed on that human colonized planet Right. But no one, not one single person did it. They're like, no, we're here for the journey. We're here to get home. And that's what we're doing. And so I guess, like you said, it can go either way. Like, hey, eat, drink, and be merry, for tomorrow we may die. Or let's wait until we get home. I feel like predominantly, though, it was let's wait until we get home. But yeah, I mean, there are people out there who are like, no, let's do this now.
Yeah, I want to hear from our listeners on this issue. Let's see if there's a side that wins out. So, listeners, if you've got an opinion on what we're talking about here, go to trek.fm/contact, write us, and tell us what you think. We'd love to hear from you. So, okay, well, let's talk about Miral Paris, because she is, as far as we know, the only child actually conceived on Voyager.
According to Seven, it was most likely a very loud conception.
Right. Everybody on deck nine, right?
Yeah.
Yes, everybody heard it, and they were aware of when it happened. So be it, I guess.
I absolutely love that moment. I love those real moments where we see Seven as a fish out of water, and she's just so blunt, and B'Elanna will have nothing of it. I like that she wasn't born until the last episode, but then at the same time, I was like, no, I wanted to see the hijinks that would ensue with Tom and B'Elanna actually raising a child.
Right. Can you imagine those first few weeks, those two dealing with a newborn?
No.
Oh, buddy.
There'd been a lot of babysitting going on.
There would have been some very sleep-deprived, cranky, completely on-edge people, and a very loud, crying baby. And I would have loved to have seen those first few days and seeking out advice from anybody and everybody on how to handle this child. Because, you know, I think those two, they're very smart, and they feel like, okay, this is unknown, and we're having a child, and I'm a little scared, but we're getting it together, and then all of a sudden the child's here, and then... holy whoa, what do I do with this thing? I wanted to see them go through that. I really did. That would have been cool. So if Miral would have been born maybe just a few episodes before the finale, that would have been very cool to see them as new parents. Although, Of course, I mean, for the whole heartstring elements, you do put it in the finale. Of course you do.
I like that we had an episode about Miral.
Mm-hmm.
Before she was born.
Yes.
I like the whole episode about B'Elanna wanting to change her genetics so that she wouldn't have ridges and she'd be blonde-haired and everything like that.
Yeah, lineage.
Lineage. I love that that was addressed because they have the power to do that in the future. And, I mean, it was very reminiscent of the fantastic film Gattaca with Ethan Hawke and Uma Thurman, where these parents would pick and choose the traits that they wanted. And they said, they're like, no, you know, we're not creating something alien of you. It's just simply the best of you. And where would that stop? When is it okay? When is it not
okay?
When are you changing the identity? And I love that we saw the aspects of B'Elanna's history affect that decision. We got to see those flashbacks. And she said, like, if you can't handle one Klingon soon, you're going to have two. And bam, heart of the issue.
Right. Mm-hmm.
Yeah,
there you
she's
go.
Got major daddy issues.
Yes.
She did.
She did. That's what that episode's about.
They should have just called it daddy issues, not lineage.
She really should have. That would have been great. True to life. That's what we wanted on Voyager.
Yeah. And then in the last episode, we find out that she actually turns out to be awesome.
Yeah.
We see a grown Miral. And granted, this is an alternate version. We, you know, she's not going to be the same as we saw her. But still, she seemed pretty cool and a lot like her mother.
She didn't take anything off of anybody.
Yeah.
Nor should she have, though.
No, she shouldn't have.
Yes.
So we didn't get to see the interaction between Miral and Naomi, but we did get to see interaction between Naomi and some Borg children.
We did, yes. As I recall, she and Icheb became pretty quick friends.
That's true.
They
and
were
we also got
puzzles.
To see we got to see alternate adult versions of them too.
Right.
Hanging out together.
Yes, in Shattered.
In Shattered, yeah.
Yeah,
which is
and
a
that
great
was pretty
episode.
Cool. Like grown up Naomi, that is exactly how I would envision her too. Whoever visualized that, they nailed it.
That was great.
Even though she looks nothing like Scarlett Palmer's does today, even though she would be that age.
Well, her hair's not nearly as red, but...
Just like Wesley, when we see Wesley...
oh, yeah.
Right.
And he's like completely muscular and ripped and blonde for some reason.
Hey, like a Ken why doll. Not? That was crazy.
Well, you know, it's just as unrealistic as in Flashback where we see the young Janeway.
Oh,
who's
my
got
gosh.
This curly red hair, and she's, forgive me, she's very chubby. And that's, I'm sorry, that's not Janeway.
No.
Looks nothing like her at all.
I've met a lot of people who were chubby as kids and who grew out of it, but still, even with that fact in mind,
even
it
with
looked
that,
nothing like her.
Yeah, it's not the same face or anything at all.
And people say that Kate Mulgrew has red hair.
No.
Why are they saying this?
Okay, for one thing, naturally, it's dark.
Yeah.
It's kind of a really dark, kind of ebony brown, and then she dyes it. So that's that, people.
And even when she, even when she dyed it, it's like an auburn. I've never once thought,
red.
Oh, she's a redhead. But people are, I've not heard people
quite.
Say, oh, I like Janeway because she's a redhead like
well,
me. And I was like, what Janeway are you talking about?
You know who I think they're referring to is the Janeway in Caretaker, because as I recall, that wig was redder than
that's
it
right.
was a little later on. And then they cool it right. out and they make it look a little more natural with a more auburn look, which suits her very well. She looks very good with that color.
You're right.
But she's not a redhead. I'm sorry, people.
Okay, so Ichab, what did Ichab. You guys think about the introduction of the Borg kids? What did you like? There was four of them, two twins, one girl, and Ichab. And
yes.
we're not even going to try to pretend that we know the names of the other kids.
Yes, because we never got to know them very well at all. Like, the only one we
no.
really paid any attention to was Ichab, right? That's the only one that I remember.
Did those two boys, did they ever talk? Did they ever say anything?
Like once or twice. Like what? Like during one episode, The Haunting of Deck 12, we heard them speak.
Right, okay.
Okay,
right.
yeah.
And I can't remember any other time, but I know that they did. I think when they did a science fair, I think they spoke. But I can't remember what episode that was in. That was the only time I remember.
And they
I'm
were,
okay
yeah.
with that.
But yeah, they were twins, right?
Right.
Okay,
right.
So they had their
now,
twin language.
Said,
go ahead.
We almost had a fifth one, but they
oh.
he died in that in their introduction
right.
episode, and so, I was so thankful that he died.
Mm.
He was
yeah,
so annoying.
He was.
So
to be honest, I was never really sure what to think about the Borg kids. I never really cared for them that much. I mean, they didn't really do much for me except for Ichab. For what contributions they let him have, he was good. And he was an older kid, so he was a mentor to Naomi, which I liked. And that was great. But you know what? I really could have done without him. I'm really indifferent. What did you guys think?
I feel like it's kind of a love it or hate it, but I feel very indifferent. Like, I'm like, okay, it happened. It's there. You know, I'm not going to complain. But I feel like a lot of people are like, oh, no, I really like the introduction of Ichab and all the other kids because it gave Seven of Nine another aspect of humanity. And where she had to not only, like, it wasn't just Janeway looking after Seven, but Seven had to look after somebody else. For that, I liked it, but I feel like if they weren't there, I would have been fine.
That aspect of it, actually, I don't really care much for at all. I just felt like Seven was a glorified babysitter.
Yeah, yeah.
And we didn't need that, really? Well, okay. I mean, of all people to be a mother, Seven?
Although, I did like the episode. Like, if it wasn't for the kids, this episode never would have happened. The one with the binculum, or vinculum, or whatever it's called,
oh,
where
golly.
They had to take out some sort of node in her head.
Oh gosh, I have not seen this one in years.
Yeah, they had to find a derelict Borg ship.
Right.
And,
right.
Like, take the node out of some dead Borg's head and put it back in Seven's because she was just degrading over time. And Ichab gave her, gave
Seven
her
his. Right.
And I remember the tension in that scene between the two of them where, like, Ichab's like, body is failing and he looks like he's going to throw up and die. And he's like, I'm not taking it back. And Seven's like, I'm not taking it. And Doctor says, well, somebody better take the damn thing. And I thought that was a great moment because she's like, she realized how much she cared for him, and Icheb realized how much she cared for Seven. So I guess for that moment, I thought it was worth it. But for every other moment, was it? Not really.
Oh, I liked him. I liked him when he was itchy in Q2.
Yes,
that was cute.
I just watched that not that long ago, and he is a very nice accomplice for Q Jr.
He really, it was nice to see him acting like a teenage boy. That was nice.
Well, he's trying, yes.
Yeah, he made an attempt.
He did. It was about as much as we saw him loosen up, the poor guy.
I know.
That's true.
20 minute. No, I was just going to say his report about Kirk at the beginning is hilarious to me.
Oh,
and you're
yeah.
How many chapters does this have?
30 something.
I can't believe we haven't discussed that until just now. That, like, yeah, we actually see in Voyager, not only do we get the most kids out of any series, but we get the first Q in history of time. We get to see the first Q baby.
Yes.
In the history of ever on Voyager.
Yes. And we do see him conceive, too.
Oh, that's true.
That's right.
That's true.
I was good, wasn't I?
Jane was just like, that's it?
Yeah, you had your chance. Don't go crying about it now. I love that part. I love it.
I'm surprised the FCC didn't shut that down.
It was quite explicit for a TV-14 rating, don't you think?
Yeah. I think so, too.
Yeah, Q mating is very sexy. Before we go, I want to give a shout-out to Captain Kirkwolf for his awesome 5-star review. Thank you very much. We appreciate that. If anybody else out there hasn't reviewed us yet, please go to iTunes, look for To the Journey under podcasts, and give us a 5-star rating. And if you feel like a review, that's even better. We'd really appreciate it. It helps us out. Also, I want to give a shout out to Phil Prescott for writing us in every week. He is awesome. And also to everybody who has talked with us on Twitter, thank you. We've had a lot of interaction with several of you. You know who you are. And we appreciate your feedback on the show and talking with all of you.
Well, Char, speaking of people talking to us on Twitter, where can we find you on Twitter?
You can find me on Twitter at OhTheProfanity. And then Lori, where are you at?
You can find me at LoriS68. And Tristan, how about you?
Well, you can find me at The Insane Robin, where you can find me talking about all things geek and where I do the Star Trek question of the day at 10:30 a.m. Central.
Awesome. All right, guys. Well, I think that's a wrap for this week. Once again, we want to remind everybody, go to trek.fm/contact if you want to talk to us. Next week, we are going to pick some of our favorite underrated episodes. These are episodes that are typically not favorites by the masses or downright hated, and we're going to explain why we like them. So, we look forward to that. And until next time, guys, to the journey!
To the journey!
To the journey!